So our biggest selling point, or the biggest selling point about the program, are these internships, right? We call them teaching practices, so a TP. Like you mentioned earlier, they're every year. In your first year, you go abroad, generally within Europe or nearby, maybe Germany, Belgium, wherever. And you study, or you're going to an international school for around 3 weeks, maybe a month, and you observe a mentor teacher, usually in a group. So there may be three of the students in the program with you. You're watching a teacher teach in an international classroom. You're observing, you're taking notes. You do a little bit of research with some activities that you'll teach, but you're not really teaching just yet. You just started. It's February, so you've only been in the program for 6, 7 months, maybe less than that actually. And then you go abroad to teach, or to teach some activities and observe. And then in your second year, you go for 2 months. So you go, it's a big jump. Now you start teaching. You do a little bit of more observation, and this is where you start to practice how it's like to be a teacher, run a classroom on your own, and things like that. And then your third year, you go abroad for 2.5 months, maybe a little bit longer than that. And now you're really becoming more independent, practicing more, you're planning out units. And then by your fourth year, you're going abroad for 3 months plus to teach at an international school. And by then, you have your own classroom. Your mentor teachers on standby, they're sitting back more. You plan your unit, you plan your lessons and things like that. And you should be ready to prove that you can teach on your own and have your own classroom. And I think that is the most valuable thing, because you now have four connections at four international schools or bilingual schools or whatever, that maybe you can rely on to hire you. It's you're working for free. And you're getting hands-on experience, so you're building a network. If you know how to build a network, and that's something you work on in the program, and if you know how to utilize that, you should have no problem getting a job.
So welcome to the podcast, Study Abroad Extended Version. Today, my guest is Matt. Nice to meet you, Matt. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, of course. Nice to meet you.
Yeah. So the weather's not that great today, right?
No. Yeah. Classic Dutch weather.
Right? We were just trying to, I was trying to shoot some videos and had a really hard time, to be honest with you, with the lighting in the city. But yeah.
It's common. That's why you don't film a lot of videos here.
Yeah. Okay. So let me introduce Matt really quick. I mean, we don't know each other that well, but from talking to you, I know a little bit about you. So you're from Texas.
Yeah.
But you are born in Aruba.
Correct.
And you're half Dutch.
Yes.
And currently, you're studying international teachers education at NHL Stendon University of Applied Sciences.
You got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add?
No, I think you got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a fourth year student.
Yeah.
Majoring in English. So
you're almost done. Program.
Almost
four
done.
Years. Yeah.
One more semester and I'm out of here.
Okay. You're out of here. You can't wait.
Yeah. No, it's a great place to be. I'm young, I'd like to travel and get out and see the rest of the world as well.
I see. Okay. So let's start with the lightning round. So I have a couple questions for you.
Go for it.
So first question is about the money. Yeah. How much do you pay for tuition and living expenses?
Right. So a little bit of background. I think it's important to note, because I'm half Dutch, and I also have to pay EU tuition.
Wow.
So it's a lot less than the normal fees.
Okay.
Right. So in the Netherlands, you have the statutory fees, which all EU citizens pay if they study in the Netherlands. And then you have the institutional fees. So if you're coming from outside the EU, you don't hold an EU citizenship.
Yeah.
So, but because I do hold EU citizenship, I pay around 2,300 euros per year.
Okay.
In tuition. But if you're a non-EU student, so if you're coming from the States, with no EU citizenship, you would be paying around, I think the last numbers were around 9,800 euros per year.
Not bad.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're coming from a big, if you wanted to go to a big uni in the States, I mean, this is nothing.
Yeah. But it's still significantly more than what you are paying, which is 200 something, right?
Yeah, 2,000. It's about 2,300. Sorry,
2,300. Sorry,
it's no worries.
My mistake. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So my second question is, what surprised you the most so far about your experience here?
Yeah. Good question. Surprised me the most. I had an answer ready to go, and then totally lost my mind. But
That's not good.
I think we were talking about this earlier, and I think it would be the teacher dynamic and the student teacher ratio and the like hierarchy. You know, in the States, you have big classes, so your teacher, you're more like a number. and you don't really have a close connection with your teacher.
Yeah.
As opposed to here in the Netherlands, especially at the University of Applied Science, you know, you call your lecturer by their first name.
Mm-hmm.
You have small classes, you know, less than 20 students, even at a big university.
Yeah.
So I think that was the biggest shock, especially coming from a big school in the States.
Mm-hmm.
A big public high school, you know, 5,000 students,
yeah,
you know, and you're in a big class with 40 students, you know, you would never call your teacher, you know, whatever their first name is, you know, it was always Mr. or Mrs.
So here's very personal.
Yeah, very personal.
That surprised
personal.
You a lot.
Yes, yeah, okay. 100%. I think that's for a lot of international students, that's a very big
at NHL Stenden University.
Yeah. And just in the Netherlands. In
the Netherlands, yeah. Okay.
Maybe that's different if you go to a research university, yeah, like these bigger, you know, mm-hmm, if you're studying to become a doctor and, you know, you're mm-hmm in a class with 800 students,
yeah,
it might be a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
But especially at a university like NHL, where yeah you have small classes, you know, you're very close with your lecturer, you can shoot them a WhatsApp message,
yeah,
you know, they'll respond to your email in a few days. And
yeah,
yeah, you know, you call them by their first name. And so you're very, you work almost like your colleagues.
I see, yeah. So my next question is going to be, what do your friends from the States think about it?
Yeah.
Your spear. Yeah.
It's a lot of them are not necessarily jealous, but they're intrigued and very interested. And
okay,
they would love to do something like that. But a lot of these students, a lot of my friends, you know, didn't grow up with a multicultural background,
yeah,
like I did, or didn't travel as much, or if yeah they traveled, it was, you know, within the state,
yeah,
or within the US.
Yeah.
So their knowledge on going abroad is very limited, especially to go study, because, you know, the United States tries so hard to keep you where you are.
And, you think so?
And I, especially okay in Texas, you know,
okay,
there's a big incentive.
We're definitely getting into it. Yeah,
yeah, there's a big incentive to stay in Texas.
Okay.
And, you know, that's why you have, you know, in-state and out-of-state tuitions.
That's true,
right?
Yeah.
So the state will do anything to keep you there.
Yeah.
So they'll keep the tuition lower and, you know, they will bombard you with, you know, college fairs inside the school and, you know, they want you to go fight in the military and all these things, and, you know?
I see.
Right?
Yeah.
So, you know, your whole college and career, you know, search is yeah almost always focused on the US.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I see. My last question is, what's your plan after this year? Yeah. Or in general, what do you want to do after college? Yeah.
Right. So, my program is, you know, prepares me to teach in an international school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I study English. So, I would like to be an English teacher at mm-hmm one of these international schools. So, ideally, I would like to go abroad. Teach in a nice international school. And I say nice, to not necessarily, you know, with money, but it's a good institution that's accredited,
yeah,
good, well-recognized, you know, good
benefits,
and
yeah
things like this. Just mm-hmm a well-rounded school.
Yeah.
And I think with the right network and connections, it's definitely possible. So yeah, I would love to teach at an international school.
Yeah.
We'll see where that takes me, and I'm with my partner as well. So where it takes us.
Yeah. Thank you so much. That was the lightning round.
Yeah.
So how was the lightning round? Was there a question that you thought, okay, it took me so long to think about?
I think I struggled with the biggest shock.
Yeah,
I was thinking about that on the
maybe because you're half Dutch, so you know everything already.
Yeah, it's, but even then, you know, I didn't grow up here, so there's of course different things that shock me and still surprise me, especially if you spent most of your life in the States.
Yeah,
and I think that these shocking things will be even more shocking for students who don't have that multicultural background. You know,
yeah.
So
let's start from there.
Yeah.
Living in the States and moving to here, I have so many questions to be honest, because you were born in Aruba,
yeah,
where I've never been to,
right?
And your parents are half American, your mother's American, your father's from the Netherlands,
yeah,
and you speak Dutch as well,
yeah.
So how was it like growing up in such an environment? So multicultural.
It's. You know, when you're young, you don't really think too much about it.
That's true, yeah.
And you don't really appreciate it until you grow older and you start traveling or exploring the world, and you start thinking about, you know, your future and who you are, and you start thinking about your own identity.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't regret anything, you know. You know, a lot of people ask me, you know, when I come to Europe, you know, like, why would you ever want to stay in the States? And I have no regrets, you know, even though I never had that choice to leave, I have no regrets of ever living there. And I think it's nice that I had that experience of both the good and bad things. And then now I can go abroad and kind of find where I'd much rather live.
Okay.
Or, you know, there's still things I miss.
Yeah.
And there's still things I wish I had.
Miss?
Yeah. Yeah. There's things I miss. I miss the nice food court malls and mall food courts and the selection of the amazing fast food that maybe I don't need. yeah. So.
And aside of food, what's on your mind? What do you miss the most?
Yeah. I like the big cities. I grew up in North Houston,
yeah.
So in the Spring, the Woodlands area, and it's a lot. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of things to do. You know, things are open. You know, 24 hours. And
yeah.
You come to the Netherlands, and you know things are open till 6 p.m. And then, you know, in the States, I could rely on going to IHOP at 1 a.m. with the
food. I know. At least they're open on Sunday.
Yeah.
Imagine you're living in Germany because your girlfriend's from Germany. I guess you've been there already on Sunday, and nothing is open in Germany. No.
It's so annoying. And when we go to Germany with my girlfriend, you know, just we have to make sure we get the groceries on time.
Yeah.
When we were studying in Austria for 2 months teaching at an international school there. And if we forgot to buy groceries, you know, it was game over.
Yeah.
At least in the Netherlands, we have grocery stores open on Sunday. And many stores are open on Sundays as well.
Okay.
But that, you know, having that flexibility in the States where everything is open, you know, almost when you need it, is also really nice to have.
Okay. And what don't you miss?
I do not miss, not to get political, I don't miss the political landscape of the U.S. It is a very violent place
to be.
Yeah.
What else?
What else do I not miss? I do not miss, traveling on the car, like taking a car every day.
Yeah.
The commuting in the States, especially in the big cities, it's not fun.
Yeah.
Especially if you don't have any other choice.
Yeah.
I like having that choice of public transport or if I need to rent a car or if I need to take a bike. You know, I like that flexibility here in the Netherlands.
I see. Yeah. Let's go back to the year when you decided to go to the Netherlands.
Right.
How did you learn about NHL?
Yeah. So. No, it's okay.
Yeah.
So I actually found out about NHL at an international school in Houston.
Yeah.
So at the Audi International School, they had a international university fair.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot of students know about it, but because, you know, I had the parents who are, you know, from other places, they know that these things exist.
Yeah.
And, you know, my father studied in England and Netherlands and Aruba, and same with my mom.
Yeah.
And so they knew that these things existed, and they found this international fair at the Audi International School. And so at the time, I did not know what I wanted to study.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually leaning more towards information technology, so cybersecurity.
Completely different.
Totally different, okay. Right?
Yeah.
And so NHL Stenden happened to be there, and a few other Dutch universities. And I kind of knew I wanted to go to the Netherlands.
Mm-hmm.
But until that moment... if I had not been able to meet these schools, you know, in person, I probably maybe never would have left, you know?
Yeah.
So I found out about NHL there. They had a information technology program or something similar.
Yeah.
And then I realized my science grades weren't good enough, and I had to look elsewhere. And I always kind of wanted to be a teacher. And my mom was like, why not be an international teacher? And I was like, that exists, you know? So... I looked into it, and they had a program in Groningen, where I live, which is an amazing student city.
Yeah.
And my father used to study there as well.
Okay.
And I saw, hey, it's in Groningen. We have friends and family there, and so it looks like a cool program. I could be a teacher anywhere in the world. And I applied that day when I found out about it, and I stuck with it, and now I'm here.
Okay. So what are the requirements?
There are different requirements for different students coming from all over the world, right?
Okay.
And it really just depends on the courses you took in high school, what kind of degree you graduated with. You know, different countries, you have a different level of high school, you know, like in Germany, you have the Abitur and all these other different ones. But in the States, you really only have one, you know, just a high school diploma, unless you went to an international school and you got like the IB or the Cambridge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you really just need that. And whatever you want to study, just make sure that your courses that you studied in high school, you had good grades related to what you want to study. So like if you want to go into security, make sure your science and math grades are good, you know? So
how was, if I could ask, how was your GPA in high school?
That's a good question. I don't remember.
Approximately.
I think on a weighted GPA.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the regular GPA was. I think a weighted GPA was around 3.6, 3.7.
Yeah.
So I had a good GPA.
Yeah.
And I worked on that more in the later years of high school. At the beginning, I didn't really care.
Yeah.
but yeah, so around that.
Yeah. Did you need APs or
stuff like that? That's a good question. I took at least two or three AP classes each year in high school or each semester or whatever it was. And although those are good for the studying in the US, you don't really need that to study here. But it does help you. So if you want to study, you know, you want to become a scientist or whatever, and you took, you know, physics and all the chemistry, AP chemistry and things like that, and you know, and there's a limited amount of students, and another student didn't have good grades in these classes, that could help you get in.
So there is a limited number of students that can get in for example, like take your program.
Right.
Specifically. Like how's the application process like? Do you know?
Yeah. So at the time, you would apply for the program.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bit different when you're going to study abroad, you know, in the States and in Texas, you know, you have I don't know if you are familiar with the system, but we had what's called Naviance. It's a platform with all of the like universities and programs and but mainly in the US.
Okay.
Because unless you went abroad, at least if somebody had gone abroad, only that program would be in the system.
Mm-hmm.
So I could not apply through Naviance, so I needed to apply directly with the university, like any other student. And you apply, they send you a list of requirements, like we need to check this on your diploma, we need to see what nationality you have, to see if you need a visa, and I didn't need a visa, so it was quite smooth. You pay the tuition fee, actually that's a little bit later. They then get you in contact with the program, and then the program sends you their process. So you first apply to the university, and then if it's a program like ITESS or ITEPS, there's a intake interview, and they basically interview you to get to know you, like, hey, do you fit the profile of an ITESS student? Do you see yourself as really being a teacher? Is this something you really want to do? Do you want to work with kids? Or, you know, are you outgoing, personable, and all these different things?
Okay.
And it's not really to say, like, yes or no, but it's to give you an idea and, like, a moment of reflection. Like, is this really what you want to do?
Okay.
They don't do that anymore. But for the first 3 years, that's what they were doing. And now you just do a group like session and they get to know everyone.
Online usually?
Yeah, online. Okay. Yeah, yeah. We have students from all over the world.
Yeah.
Half are international, half are Dutch.
Okay.
So, and all over. Yeah. And so, yeah, you apply, you do the intake interview, you write a letter of motivation. You send over your courses and the things you did. You didn't need any SATs or ACTs and none of these national exams.
Or APs.
It's not necessary, but it's good to have.
Yeah.
The school sends you a letter of admission. And because we are a growing program, and like many University of Applied Sciences, there's not necessarily a limit on the amount of students. So there's not too much competition, I would say.
Not yet.
Not yet, but you know, the bigger you become as a program, and less space, then sure, there'll be more competition. But we have a lot of room to grow. So as long as you meet the profile, you meet the standards and the expectations, you should be good to go.
Yeah, I find your program fascinating but I have to say I'm interested in education too, which is why I'm doing the podcast.
Right.
But I think the structure, like you just mentioned before we were doing the podcast, that is very practical in comparison to the States. And you have a lot of, you do internships every semester or every year, which is great. And I think for me, the most attractive part is you can become a teacher anywhere in the world at private school or international school. So how was it like for you when you applied? Did you know this is the program you wanted to do, or were you like, okay, let's just do it, and then further on you get to know the program?
So that's a good question. So at the time, this program was very new. So ITEPS has been around for around 10 years now, or 11 years, and ITESS has been around for 5 years, and I've been here 4 years, so it's only 1 or 2 years old when I joined the program.
Yeah.
So there wasn't too much information online. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of taking a gamble, like, mm-hmm. this is going to work out. Mm-hmm. And if not, I guess I would have gone back to the States or mm-hmm. figured it out. But I fell in love with the program immediately. Yeah. I mean, I knew I always wanted to be a teacher.
Yeah.
I just never knew where,
mm-hmm.
and I never knew how. And I really did not want to teach in the States.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not a place to be a teacher at the moment.
No.
And it's just not the...
Tell me about
coming
it.
Coming back to that political landscape.
Okay.
It's just they're not as well respected
yeah.
as a teacher in the States. And maybe that's a generalization.
Yeah.
But I have a family.
That's how we feel.
That's how I feel. Yeah. And I have a family with many teachers. And my biggest inspiration, yeah, my aunt.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, she passed away. But she was an ESL teacher, so an English as a second language
mm-hmm.
teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And she's taught in my high school. And, mm-hmm. you know, seeing the impact she made on these students trying to learn English, I just loved it, you know? So.
Yeah.
I found this program and I fell in love with it, and I'm here and I'll graduate soon. Yeah.
So let's compare this to if you want to become a teacher in America.
Right.
Let's say you graduate from high school and you think, I want to become a teacher. So what do you do in the States?
Yeah. So in the States, it really depends on the state itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you know, each state has their own standard for education,
yeah.
their own department, all these things, and you have some national standards, sure. But each state is quite different. In the state of Texas, you know, it's a big state,
mm-hmm.
So you have quite a few teacher programs, but I don't think they prepare you. And maybe this is obvious, but to teach internationally, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're going to study to be a teacher in Texas, you're studying to be a teacher in Texas, right? You're not studying to be a teacher in California or.
Yeah.
Maine or wherever.
Yeah.
So you're really learning to teach in that state. So you can find programs, usually they're at smaller universities. Oftentimes you would study, like, if you wanted to be an English teacher, you would study literature.
Yeah.
And then afterwards or during your program, if it's a teacher training program,
mm-hmm.
you would get a certification for your state.
Yeah.
And that means I have a piece of paper and I can teach English in a public school in the States.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you wanted to teach abroad, it's quite useless, right?
Yeah.
So, and I wanted to teach abroad.
Yeah.
So I found a program that would allow me to do that. And
yeah.
that's where I am now.
Yeah. So maybe a little bit more about this practical experience you have
yeah.
here, or which part of your program do you think is so valuable to become a teacher in general? Yeah.
So our biggest selling point or the biggest selling point about the program are these internships.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We call them teaching practices. Mm-hmm. So a TP. Like you mentioned earlier, they're every year.
Mm-hmm.
In your first year, you go abroad, generally within Europe or
mm-hmm.
nearby, maybe
mm-hmm.
Germany, Belgium, wherever.
Yeah.
And you study, or you're going to an international school for around 3 weeks,
yeah.
maybe a month, and you observe a mentor teacher, usually in a group. So there may be three of the students in the program with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're watching a teacher teach in an international classroom. You're observing, you're taking notes, you do a little bit of research with some activities that you'll teach, but you're not really teaching just yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just started, it's February, so
mm-hmm.
you know, you've only been in the program for 6-7 months,
mm-hmm.
Maybe less than that, actually. And then you go abroad to teach, or to teach some activities and observe. And then in your second year, you go for 2 months,
mm-hmm.
so you go, it's a big jump. Now you start teaching, you do a little bit more observation, and this is where you start to practice how it's like to be a teacher, run a classroom on your own and things like that. And then your third year, you go abroad for 2.5 months, maybe a little bit longer than that. And now you're really becoming more independent, practicing more, you're planning out units. And then by your fourth year, you're going abroad for 3 months plus to teach at an international school. And by then,
wow.
you know, you have your own classroom, you know,
yeah.
your mentor teachers on standby, you know, they're sitting back more.
Mm-hmm.
You plan your unit, you plan your lessons and things like that. And you should be ready to prove that you can teach on your own and have your own classroom. And I think that is the most valuable thing, because you now have 4 connections at 4 international schools or bilingual
mm-hmm.
schools or whatever, that maybe you can rely on to hire you. You know,
mm-hmm.
you're working for free, and you're getting hands-on experience.
Mm-hmm.
So you're building a network,
mm-hmm.
if you know how to build a network, and
mm-hmm.
that's something you work on in the program.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know how to utilize that, you should have no problem getting a job.
Okay. I think that's crazy for me, because you're studying abroad already and then you go study abroad again somewhere else. Like in your case, where did you go?
So the first year, because of COVID, I was gonna go to a school in the Netherlands in the south, where my cousin is teaching at. We ended up doing it online with the school district in the U.S. So this was a project called the Wisconsin Project. So it was with the school district. I think it was Janesville School District in Wisconsin. And so you were online for 4 weeks. So everyone did it there in the States online. And in my second internship, my partner and I, we went to Austria. So International School of Carinthia. So not near Vienna, but more closer to Italy and beautiful Slovenia. Beautiful. I mean, stunning. Small village. Not much happening there. But, you know, it was a great experience. And, you know, coming from Texas and Aruba, you know, there's not much snow. So being there in February, I got to experience.
Did you learn how to ski?
I did not learn how to ski. My father always says island boys don't ski. So I didn't ski, but, you know, I got to touch snow and things like that. You know, something I've never really done. So that was fun. And then in my third internship last year, we went to Lisbon. To Portugal at the Carlucci American International School. And yeah, our fourth one is still to be determined at this point. So we'll find out, I guess, where we go.
Yeah, it's crazy. So in your, I mean, you're already studying in the Netherlands and then you went to where Austria and Portugal so far and your fourth year, maybe in Dubai, you mentioned to me before podcast, you know? So that's, I think that's very attractive. If you like, you are someone who's looking for international experience and you want to become a teacher, right? So how's, can you become a teacher in the Netherlands for a normal school? Can you do that?
So one of the things we like to say, and I'm also the head of promotions at our program. So I'm also trying to recruit students and doing all these promotional efforts and things for the program. And the biggest thing we need to make clear is that you do not graduate with teacher certification, right? A lot of national programs, like if you did study to become a teacher in Texas, like I told you, you get that fancy piece of paper that says you can teach in Texas. You do not get that in an international teacher program here. You graduate with a diploma in international education, but not with the certification. Because every country is different in their standard. So a Dutch license is useless in Singapore, you know? So you could teach here. You need to do an additional program. I think it's about a year long. And then you learn the Dutch standards, right? Because our program's teaching you to teach internationally, not to teach in the public school. So yeah, it's possible, but that's not the goal of the program.
Because I know in Germany, if the listeners are from Germany, they will think, 4 years only? That's it? Because in Germany, it takes a really long time.
A long time, right? And we have a lot of German students in our program. And a lot of them. And they also complain, you know, like, I thought I could, you know, be a teacher in Germany after 4 years. But again, that's not the goal of the program. It's not to teach back in Germany. It's to teach in an international school in Germany, And let's remember that most international schools are private. So they don't need to follow the national standards. So if you're training to teach in an international school, you don't necessarily need a national understanding. So these private schools can bend the rules or take you in without that certification. And that's just normal. So yeah, you could teach in Germany, but a lot of them want to teach in the public school and then you need to do another program.
Fascinating. So how's your... how about your classmates? Are they like the Germans, for example, or where else are they from mostly? Do you know?
Well, like I said, so half the program is Dutch, half are internationals. I'd say the next biggest demographic would be German students. Most are from Europe. I would say we have a few from Belgium. We have a few from... let's say not Austria. We have some from Spain, France, a lot of Eastern Europe, European countries. But we do have students coming from very far. We have from Japan. We have from South Korea, Singapore. We have one from Bolivia, some from the US as well. So not just me. So really from all over the world, a lot coming from Scandinavia as well. So everywhere.
And everyone wants like, to teach in international school, basically, after that? After school?
You will find that a lot of people apply and a lot of people join the program in the first year. And then, you know, 30% of them will be gone by the second year. And that's not something to be ashamed about, because the program is designed to prepare teachers who want to teach.
Yeah.
Right. There's a big difference. I'm sure maybe you've had, mm-hmm. you know, there's a difference between a teacher who really wanted to be there and the teacher who didn't.
Mm-hmm.
So if you really don't want to be here, that's mm-hmm. where you can kind of figure out in the first year, like, yeah. hey, this is not for me. And that's why you have that internship for 3 weeks. Okay. In the first year, because then you can
that's great, yeah. It's like, actually a good thing, yeah.
Early on, yeah. without having to waste 4 years of
mm-hmm.
your life,
mm-hmm.
Which I find happens a lot in the States,
yeah.
You can figure that out early on. So a lot of them know they want to be teachers,
mm-hmm.
and if you're here by your fourth year,
yeah,
you're almost set on that, or at least something in international education.
Yeah.
You know, some want to be counselors or, you know, an assistant or whatever they want to be, but it's generally focused around international education.
Okay, thank you so much, Matt, for the conversation.
So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Thanks. Hopefully, the listeners like it too.
Yeah,
we'll see. Okay, then, see you next time. Bye bye. Yeah,
see you.